The Spendthrift 80s, Part 5, Dance Crazes. Smurf and the and Bird. Early in the decade, two dances appeared on American Bandstand, styles that did not exactly sweep the nation. The Smurf, not surprisingly, appeared at the height of the Smurf figurine craze. It was a sidestepping dance in which you tilted your head towards one shoulder and then swung your arms up and down. You sidestepped with your heels together the way Dorothy clicked her heels in The Wizard of Oz. Your head then tilted towards the other shoulder and you repeated the movements in the opposite direction. The other dance, The Bird, originated with the movie Purple Rain. It too was a sidestepping dance, though one more exaggerated movements involving the hips with the arms flapping like a bird's wings. It's really a fun dance to do, says Dick Clark in Rock and Roll and Remember, especially to the song The Bird. Rap and Slam Dancing. Smurf and the Bird were dances quite distinct and tepid for those enjoyed at the end of the decade, like voguing, which we'll get to. Rap singer MC Hammer's fluid, rapid-fire rap dancing. In the latter, the seemingly boneless body of diaphanous pants employing a feint of footwork, glides, spins, and undulations across the dance floor. Is a style of movement as punctuated and poetic as the rapper's flow of lyrics. A violent style of dance appeared earlier in the decade, slam dancing, in which young men, usually only men did the dance, slammed their bodies into each other, further assault of loud music. Slam dancers were on the punk fringe and usually bumped and bruised each other while wearing combat boots, t-shirts, and fatigue pants. The phenomenon was mercifully short-lived and confined to larger metropolitan cities like New York and Los Angeles. But the first really hot dance craze of the 80s was the exuberantly athletic and acrobatic style known as breakdancing. This was a grassroots style of dance that originated in the Bronx and Brooklyn among black males. It served as a means of expressing their individuality and fearlessness through ingenious daredevil routines that few outsiders could copy without incurring serious injury. Spinning on one's back while lying on the ground, then spinning up onto the shoulders and perhaps again onto the top of the head was a favorite break. And breaks originally were done during instrumental passages in a song when the beat is stripped to its barest and most driving essence. In 1983 issue of In Performance, a monthly guide to the Brooklyn Academy of Music, described breakdancers as twirling around the axis of their upper bodies like human coffee grinders, using fast pedaling footwork, twisting belly up, belly down, finishing with elaborate leg pretzels. Though American breaking originated with the so-called B-boys in the South Bronx, its roots, writes Christopher Marlowe, in break dancing go back to three neighboring countries in West Africa, Mali, Gambia, and Senegal. The African cultures practice a highly vigorous form of acrobatic social dancing, right down to the concluding stance in a break dance. The nonchalant freeze, that is, an abrupt stop as the dancer was trapped in the film's freeze frame. How did this form of African social dancing find its way to New York's South Bronx? The transformation took about 16 years, starting in the late 60s. Marlowe argues that many professional West African dancers, members of such companies as the Senegalese Ballet, came to America and settled in the Bronx, offering master dance classes to professional American dancers. In a reciprocal program, many black American dance companies then visited West Africa, offering their own master classes and incorporating local dance styles into their own repertoire. Upon returning home, the knowledge of these dance companies gained, says Marlowe, was used in performances at public schools and community centers. These groups saturated the South Bronx with African dance, and sitting in the audience were the breakers of today soaking it all up. Once out on the streets, the B-boys did their own improvisations, mixing African dance and rap rhythms with the elements of competition and one-upmanship from their own everyday experiences. The word break was also used by inner-city kids to mean an outburst of anger. An example Marlowe gives that the bank would not cash her check, so she just started breaking on them. Translation, she got loud and caused a scene. Electric Boogie. Though often confused with breakdancing, the Electric Boogie was a distinct different style that emerged in the late 70s. It consisted of mime-like movements such as hand waves, robot-like popping, stiff start, stop, jerks, and gravity-defying moonwalks, the last popularized by Michael Jackson. The roots of the Electric Boogie, claims Curtis Marlowe, are to be found in the comic mime routines of Shields and Yarnell. in the late 70s, Robert Shields had studied with Marcel Marceau, and Lauren Yarnell was... They were featured in a six-week summer replacement program on CBS TV. They introduced audience to a robotic couple named the Clinkers, who moved by popping. Young black kids were all talking about the robot character, says Marlowe. They started to imitate, and in a matter of weeks, becoming proficient in that area. As a team of Shields and Yarnell used mime to tell stories, urban black youngsters began to tell their own stories on the streets of the Bronx and Brooklyn in mime dancing that evolved into electric boogie. It was, as is all dance, a means of communication. The lambada. Borrowing from the tango and the merengue, the lambada was a Brazilian bump and grind that dates back to the 20s. The word lambada is from the Portuguese verb to whip. The dance became a brief nationwide craze after two French recording producers, Jean Caracos and Olivier Lossac, saw it performed in Brazil in 1988 and decided the steps were insufficiently passionate and sensual to the market as an alternative to sex in the age of AIDS. The savvy producers assembled a group, Coma, and flooded the country with a pulsating single lambada and abundant lambada videos. Meanwhile, two Bolivian brothers, who claimed to have written the song's melody, sued the French producers. Not for the bashful, the hip-grinding, pelvic-touching, dirty dance was featured on the Arsenio Hall show, touted as the latest trend on hard copy, and given an elaborate presentation in New York's Palladium Disco. On tour, the Coma Band played to packed houses in Miami to San Francisco. From the waist up, the two lambada dancers resembled a couple doing the tango or the foxtrot. The man with his right arm around the woman's waist, her right hand in his left, held out to the side. The woman rests her left hand on his shoulder. The intimate aspect of the dance comes from the infamous thigh straddle, in which the man's crotch tightly grips the woman's thighs, assuring that the partners remain locked together at the groin while they gyrate. The basic movement is up and down with the hips. It's a bit embarrassing to do with someone you don't know. It's known that the dance was once banned in Brazil and is thought to have the label lambada from the whip, referring to the fact that dancers were punished for their lascivious behavior. The craze included two forgettable films of 1990, Lambada and The Forbidden Dance. Finally, we get to voguing. Voguing, an attitude as much as a dance, is all about striking a pose, was popularized by Madonna and her Vogue video. In this lithe language style of dance, incorporating the struts and stances of high fashion models of the haughtiest sort, contrary to popular opinion, it did not originate with Madonna, nor, as is sometimes stated, was it the concoction of the promoter Malcolm McLaren, who featured the trend in his 1989 LP Waltz, Darling. Voguing began underground among gay black and Latino men at urban dance clubs, particularly ones in Harlem. As director Gene Livingston makes clear in her 1991 film about voguing, Paris is Burning. The dance of Saks Fifth Avenue mannequins moved from Harlem downtown to New York's Washington Square Park, where it was publicly reformed, al fresco, and copied, though not by everyone. The original voguers, the grandest of drag queens in elaborately sequined gowns, belonged to the cliques called houses, named after couture houses like Dior and Saint Laurent. The black and Latino males intimated in life and dance the jet set's beautiful crowd and stylish magazine models. These were people excluded from the mainstream in every way, Livingston says, yet their whole subculture was based on imitating the very people who were excluding them. Were her chronicling of that particular gay subculture with its grand balls, gaudy gowns, and couture houses, Us Magazine christened Livingston the Voguer's Margaret Mead. Now, the sources for this, Panati's Parade of Fads, Follies, and Manias, The Origins of Our Most Cherished Obsessions by Charles Panati. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.